we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It is not the norm to preach on the Old Testament reading on this day, Good Friday, when we hear John's story of the pain and suffering of Jesus as his human life comes to an end. But I would suggest that if we're trying to make sense of John's story, we need to pay attention to what Isaiah has to say. It is not necessarily true that Isaiah is speaking specifically about Jesus, a prophecy of what is to come, but is certainly about one who suffers in service to his people. And even more importantly, this one not only accepts suffering in the course of his work, the suffering actually becomes the tool of his work. Now, if we did this today, we'd be accused of being masochistic. Who would do this? To deliberately suffer? To appear noble, perhaps, by stretching ourselves well beyond our breaking point so that we might be applauded by the crowd? To tolerate it because it occurred while we were doing our work, much like we get a sore back when we work too long out in the garden? To accept it as a logical consequence when our feet hurt after walking 10 kilometers. But this servant, the one of whom Isaiah speaks, takes the punishment, and it is an awful punishment, reviled, marred beyond human semblance, with stripes, despised, rejected. This is not a minor sprained wrist here, or sore back. It's having been lashed and broken, infected with all of the diseases of humankind, crushed with pain. And Jesus does it, or Isaiah's servant does it. Not because he expects glory, although Isaiah suggests that glory is somewhere in the offing, off in the distance. He does it simply because it is the only way to accomplish that which is necessary, the saving of a bunch of wayward people who are lost sheep, going every way but the right way. Sheep whom most shepherds would have written off. Stupid, distracted, confused, arrogant, misguided sheep, who do not count the cost of their meandering to those around them, the cost to the one who will gather them in, because someone, is going to gather them in. And to do that requires more than a little effort. No, it is more than a mere walk up the hill for some lost sheep. It is, in fact, much more like rescuing lost mountain climbers from a crevasse on Mount Everest. And in the rescue effort, the one who goes to save them will die because it is only through him lifting them out of the crevasse, letting them climb onto his shoulders as he braces himself against the frozen walls, that they can climb out before he slips down into the darkness of death. He is the only one who can do it, even though he knows that he will die in the doing of it. Who is this servant? As I said, Isaiah may or may not have considered his suffering servant in this poetic passage to be a prophecy of the one that we know as Jesus Christ, but our Lord certainly fits that picture that Isaiah paints. It makes a strange kind of sense of the mystery that is Jesus' willingness to take on this pain. Why would Jesus, the Son of God, not choose another less painful way to fix our waywardness? Jesus accepts his ending because he knows it is the blood price for our iniquities, for our waywardness, for our sinful choices. He is the sacrifice. He is the one who was slain to redeem us from our sins. He is the one who knew exactly what he was getting into and still said yes to it, because he loved us so much that he could not abandon us to our brokenness. He could not let us wayward sheep continue to meander through the cold night on the hillside without water or shelter. He could not let us fall into the crevasse of an eternity without relationship with the one who created us. And if his suffering and death was necessary to save us, he would die. Isaiah sings, "The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." The two things, then, are inextricably intertwined. To make them righteous, he must bear their iniquities. If they are to be brought back into the sheepfold, back to base camp at the foot of Everest, he has to suffer. And because he loves us, he freely chooses a suffering that will be the tool of our salvation. A suffering that's humiliating as well as painful, one that marks him as a failure as well as a criminal, one that subjects him to untold injustice. Why? So that we might have the justice that is much more than we deserve. Whether Isaiah knew that he was writing about Jesus or not, we have no doubt that the evangelist John knew Isaiah's servant songs, from which the Old Testament passage is taken.